This is Turnbuckle Trash.
Zane Peterson.
You're the greatest guy in the whole galaxy.
Yeah, I'm a real class act.
Now we'll get some action.
Ajay Salveson.
The juice is loose.
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 Dave Denton.
Man, you don't want no bread. You don't want no salad. All he wants is meat.
It's time to take out the trash.
Let's show him what we got, guys.
This is Turnbuckle
Trash.
So
moving on. Well,
the Royal Rumble
match Sunday. What are you? Tell me what you're looking most forward to.
Well, to be honest with you, I was kind of disappointed in the Rumble last year because they didn't have but one surprise entry. And I'm wondering, with the two rosters being combined, if they'll have any surprise entries at all. Are they going to have something that's really going to surprise you? You know, last year, Mark Henry, everybody oohed and aahed, but still, is it going to be somebody? Would it be somebody like Charles Barkley, since they were going to be in Philly? Or is it going to be one of the Philadelphia football Eagles getting ready for the Super Bowl? Are they going to mention them? It's the surprise aspect of the Royal Rumble that everybody likes. And I think I'm also going to be looking forward. I think the match I'm going to look forward to, though, is the SmackDown WWE Championship match. I think that's going to be fun.
The rumor on the street is, you know, and I hit the streets a lot down here in San Pete County. I mean,
the mean streets
it gets
of San Pete County.
It's pretty wild when everything shuts down at 9:30. I mean, that's when the hooligans come out. You know,
oh, you got a bunch of hooligans down there now.
Sure, but anyways, rumor is Dolph Ziggler might win, and he might be getting ready for a big push.
You know what? I would love that.
I would too.
Absolutely love that. But I'm seeing it's going to be Roman Reigns, and that's going to set up him and maybe.
Can you tell me how good a slobber knockers AJ Styles and Dolph Ziggler could throw down, man? I mean, those two, I'll bet you would be some of the best matches in history, I'd bet.
You know, I mean, I can't disagree with you there. Dolph is awesome, and AJ's one of the best workers I've ever seen, you know? So,
yeah.
I mean, look back at what AJ did with Finn Balor with just, what, 3 days' notice, 2 days' notice to set up the match and to set up what they were going to do when all that illness was hitting. It was an incredible, incredible match. If it hadn't been for that hardcore match on the Lucha Underground that I picked as my match of the year, I would have went with AJ and Finn. Yeah. I thought it was that good.
You know, so that side note then, why aren't they pushing the Balor Club, man? Gallows and Anderson are fetching show openers again. I mean,
well, here's what they're doing with it. I guarantee you, trying to take a little bit of the steam out of the Young Bucks and the Bullet Club. The Bullet Club, I'm trying to remember the name of, there's a not a t-shirt store, but a young person's fashion store. One that I would never go into because I'm an old man. But that is the hottest selling t-shirt there is the Young Bucks. And they're on ROH. And they also sell a lot of the Bullet Club t-shirts. So they are the hottest item in professional wrestling right now. And I would think Vince is saying, you know, we started off with the Balor Club. Let's put them back together and try to take some of the heat away from them.
So which t-shirt is the one that they're particularly the best seller?
I think it is the Young Bucks. But don't quote me on that one because I'm trying to remember right off the hand. It's either or the Bullet Club, which I think it would be the Bullet Club as the hottest seller. And you got to remember, the Bullet Club is still very active in Japan, New Japan Wrestling, and ROH. And I think there's even a Bullet Club chapter maybe in AAA. I know at one time there was. So they're just worldwide right now. I think they did the Balor Club. And if you'll remember, when you and I went to the matches last year on the road to WrestleMania, and Finn Balor was injured, And I said, there's somebody with a Balor Club jacket on. But it was right after he'd gotten injured, so. Is that my buddy?
Yeah. Yeah, he's riding his bike.
Oh, cool. I could hear him in the background. Yeah. That's so cool.
Yeah, there's Young Bucks. I'm just looking on Pro Wrestling Tees. And that Bullet Club t-shirt is pretty cool. I wouldn't mind getting one.
Yeah. I do
and
have
the Young Bucks t-shirt is pretty cool, too.
Yeah. I do have my Rusev Day t-shirt.
I know. That's sweet.
Yeah, it is. I've worn it all over town a couple of times, and everybody just looks at me funny.
Because they don't get it, dude.
Yeah, I haven't had one person come up to me and say, Happy Rusev Day yet. It will happen.
On Christmas Day, I texted you and said, Merry Rusev Day instead of even Merry Christmas.
I was going around singing during Christmas time going, Oh, Rusev Day.
That's a great tag team, too, right there.
Oh, I love them. But they lost to the Fashion Police last week.
Oh, jeez.
Just drives me crazy. Sometimes you just say, you've got magic in a bottle, lightning in a bottle, and they're going to waste it.
Did you see Andrew so well when he put on his Facebook page? He says, I hope Vince McMahon wins the Rumble.
And Stephanie. Stephanie wins the women's.
I said, maybe Triple H could interfere and win all the other titles, too.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me. Wouldn't surprise me if one of the McMahons didn't win one of them. So
they don't miss any opportunity to float their own boat, do they?
No, not in the least. And did you see that Andrew's getting married?
Yeah, that's great.
And congratulations, great. Mr. Solwell. And what a nice guy and a great tag
team.
So
real quick, let's break this down. Women's Rumble, who are you picking?
I will pick Nia Jax.
You think so?
Yeah.
Okay.
Nope, take it back. Asuka.
I was either going to go with Nia or Asuka. Nia would be a little bit off the... I don't know, though. They're pushing Nia right now because of the whole, you know... It sounds rude, but it's not meant to be rude. It's like the whole, you know, bigger is beautiful thing and the no bullying campaign and all. So it wouldn't surprise me if they put a title on her for a while and parade her around.
She's got a beautiful face. Her face.
Oh, dude, there's
so
I don't. I'm not saying that's why I said it. It sounds like I'm being rude, but they're just totally capitalizing on current events, which I guess that's fine.
And then with the situation where they were setting her up to have a fling with Enzo, so with the situation with Enzo Amore, and if he did it, he needs to rot in jail. That might do it or might not. But I will pick Asuka. How about you?
Yeah. I'm guessing – I don't know. I would either imagine Asuka or Nia because those are the two seem to be – from who's going to be in the match. There's no way that – Natty's just a filler. Mm-hmm. Mickey James, they've totally bypassed her now. Yeah. I mean, she was doing really good for a while. They're pushing her, but – And Becky Lynch, they've completely left her in the dust. I don't know why, you know. But
she did film the Marine movie with The Miz.
Oh, the Marine 96?
Yeah, the Marine 943,000.
So, oh, really? We're up that high. Uh-huh. Well, and so what about tag team champions Seth Rollins and Jason Jordan versus we do not raise the bar. We are the bar.
Well, I think the Ford Motor Company will win that one because they're using that same slogan in their commercials right now for Ford F-150 trucks, and it makes me mad. I see Jason and Seth just because it'll set up them in the future having a feud.
Okay. Usos versus Chad Gable and Shelton Benjamin.
Chad Gable and Shelton Benjamin.
Okay. What about Bobby Roode versus TBA?
Is that... It's
to be announced.
Oh, boy. Hey, is that when Dolph Ziggler's coming back?
I don't know.
I will say the glorious one.
Yeah. Then there's in the kickoff show, Luke Gallows and Karl Anderson versus The Revival.
That's the kickoff show. They just did that match on Monday Night Raw. Gallows and Anderson.
And Kalisto, Lince Dorado, and Gran Metalik. I don't know any of these people.
That's from 205 Live.
TJP, Jack Gallagher, and Drew Gulak.
You would like Drew Gulak. He
would I?
Yeah, he plays a straight-laced character, and he did some work when Enzo was still there, where he would there was a spot where Enzo had actually lost his voice. I mean, literally had lost his voice, and he couldn't speak. So Drew Gulak gets in there, and he's reading a script, and he says,
"And unfortunately, due to a vocal cord injury, don't you hate when that happens, I have a prepared statement on behalf of Mr. Amore. It goes as follows. If you know it, please feel free to say it along with us. His name is Enzo Amore, and he is indeed a certified G and a bona fide stud, and you cannot teach that. Bada boom, realist champion in the room, how are you doing? See, last night Enzo Amore may have lost his voice, but he did not lose the Cruiserweight Championship. No. Unlike Kalisto, he is a bigger letdown than the Green Bay Packers. As for tonight, team Lucha Lucha, there seems to be only one word to describe you, and we are going to spell it out for you.
S-A-W-F.
That was priceless. It was so good. So he plays this really straight-laced character, and I enjoy his character a lot. So I think they'll win that one.
So far the names announced in the Rumble. You know, like I said, there's always some surprise entrances. Roman Reigns, The Miz, John Cena, which, by the way, that spot with John Cena and
Elias
Sampson, that was awesome.
It was good. That was so good.
I really, really like Elias right now.
Yeah, I liked it when he hit John Cena in his watchovies.
Slap nuts.
Yeah, yep. He got him right there in the watchovies.
As hard as I could in his testicles.
I just love him when he busts that guitar over. It reminds me of Jeff Jarrett, you know.
And do you like his little stick now, where he says the WWE means walking with Elias?
I love it.
Fantastic.
It's awesome. So John Cena, and I was glad to see John Cena put him over a little bit too.
He's been doing that recently.
Yeah. So Finn Balor, Randy Orton. You know, Randy needs to take some time off, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does.
He needs to disappear from TV for a while. He's become completely irrelevant in everything.
But, you know, he attacked the Michael Jackson wannabe, Shinsuke Nakamura, on SmackDown last week.
Going back heel again?
I hope so. He's been wanting to go heel for a
while. Randy Orton's the best. He's better as a heel than he is as a face. So, but Shinsuke...
Yeah.
Elias, Baron Corbin, Matt Hardy, Bray Wyatt. What's been going on with those two?
They actually had a dark match at the Manhattan Center on Monday Night Raw. And actually, I think they're going to make some money on this one. I think it'll be a mid-carder for – I think they'll end the feud at WrestleMania, be a mid-carder. But I think that if merchandising goes right, the Woken Matt Hardy – will sell a lot of T-shirts, and then
so how do you feel the WWE is? They think they're steering the Woken in the right direction. Do you think it's going okay?
I've liked what they've been doing okay with Matt and Bray Wyatt together, two wild characters. Juice hates when they get in the ring and start laughing at each other.
I think it's hilarious.
I think it's
stupid. You
know? It's just entertainment. I love it. But I can see them making a lot of money with that and making that maybe the midway of the WrestleMania card, making that the where they take their little bit of a break to catch their breath. I could see that being a midway match in WrestleMania between the two, kind of a final feud.
Yeah.
And there's been talking about a new Wyatt family. There's been talk about bringing some people in to be a new Wyatt family.
So Aiden English,
Is Rusev on there?
Rusev's on there. Aiden English, did I say that right? Titus O'Neil. Apollo Crews, Ty Dillinger, Big E, Kofi Kingston, Xavier Woods. Roman. I hope they'll always do something with Kofi. Wonder what they'll do this year.
Oh yeah, that'd be kind of fun.
He always does something silly, huh?
Well, that year the Big E called him and they went around the ring with Big E carrying him on his back. I thought that was hilarious. And
I thought the best one was when he landed in the chair.
Yeah.
And he jumps the chair, like hops with the chair back to the ring.
Good stuff. But I see Roman Reigns winning that one for some. I don't want him to win, but I see him win.
Now it's time to go to school.
You like wrestling?
Yeah.
It's sort of like wrestling, except they ain't mad.
It's called suspension of disbelief.
It's like wrestling for fun.
Like wrestling.
Nothing like that.
This is unbelievable.
You're a nerd.
No, you are.
No,
you're a nerd.
I know you are, but what am I?
You're an idiot.
I know you are, but what am I?
I know you are, but what am I?
I know you are, but what am I? Infinity.
No, I'm not.
You are. By the way, last night on my Facebook page, Salt Lake Fan X coming up in September, none other than Paul Rubens will be there.
No kidding.
Pee Wee Herman. I love Pee Wee Herman. I'm not going to say anything about what he got caught doing in Florida or anything, but
oh, geez, you had to bring that up.
I did because I'm a nerd. No, you are. Go ahead.
But what am I?
Yeah, I don't know. You are.
All right, you ready to get back on with it?
I reckon.
To get on with it?
I guess.
Let's move on. Cesaro and Sheamus, WWE Raw Tag Team Championship defeat. In surprising fashion, Seth Rollins and what was Jason Jordan until he got injured.
Yeah, again.
Kind of getting sick of Jason Jordan. Let's just throw that out there.
And he gets hurt, and he can't go on. I was shocked. I'm not kidding you. I was shocked. I thought that it would be Jason Jordan and Seth Rollins for at least right before WrestleMania. And then the big match would be Seth against Jason, because that they would break up the team.
We still have Elimination Chamber, right? Which is a Raw event.
I didn't think of that. Thank you, nerd.
You are welcome, nerd. Over Cesaro and Sheamus. Jordan did leave the ring. He sustained a head injury. Rollins was on his own. Sheamus and Cesaro performed a white noise / diving net breaker combination on Rollins. And by the way, the title, they win the title for a record-setting fourth time as a team, which is a record-setting fifth time for Cesaro individually.
Oh, cool.
So
I love Cesaro.
Man, he's good.
And remember, it was Sheamus' birthday.
Oh, man. He had a rough, 20 seconds in the ring, and you get eliminated by the guy you got in the ring.
I got to tell you this. My wife walked by the computer when I was watching this. And she hasn't seen Sheamus in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
She had not seen that mohawk.
Oh, man.
And she looked, she says, what in the world that man do to himself? It was hilarious.
Well, Teresa, you meet him in person. He'll make you wet your pants. You'll never
so
be the
that's
same
what happened. Again. Okay.
Oh, dude, yeah.
Okay.
And then when I saw the Big Show, I then crap my pants. So I.
Thanks for sharing.
Took care of both ends.
Yeah.
In the fifth match of the night, it's Brock Lesnar versus Kane and Braun Strowman.
You want me to tell you something?
Hmm.
It was my favorite match of the night. As much as I enjoyed the two Royal Rumbles.
It was a triple threat match for the WWE Universal Championship
match. I love that match.
Brock Lesnar does retain his Universal Championship, surprise, surprise, over Kane and Braun Strowman. Thoughts?
I thought it was a...
Why was it your favorite match?
I just thought it was well-crafted, great storytelling. Now, Zane finally got to watch the match this morning, and he texted me, and he thought that it made Kane look bad. I disagree. Yeah. I mean, it was part of the storyline to have the three of them in there. The setup for it was really good for the triple threat match. To me, that was almost like when they get into their Extreme Rules match later this year, mm-hmm. that was what Extreme Rules should be, something like that. They had chairs, they had tables, they had big, huge, strong guy. I loved the match. I really did. I thought it was fantastic. I thought that all three got to have high spots. And then I liked the way it ended with with Brock getting the win over Kane, and then Strowman shouting from the ring,
"You haven't beat me. You haven't beat me."
What does that do?
Nothing.
It sets up for really
WrestleMania.
Yeah, that's all it's doing. It kind of just puts those two on a path to WrestleMania.
Once again, it is the road to WrestleMania. Yeah. Everything that happens now leads to WrestleMania. So I think that it was great storytelling, great setup for something at the Elimination Chamber, then that will lead also to WrestleMania.
I like it. Mm-hmm. I like Lesnar versus Strowman.
Yeah.
I do.
And of course with the Jimmy Johns on his shorts, it made me want a number three tuna with sprouts from Jimmy. Yeah, I love those. And a number 14, the Italian, with peppers.
Good night, dude. You just listed off two sandwiches.
Remember, I have a foodographic memory. I do. I have a foodographic memory.
It's number four on McDonald's. We really ought to do this sometime, just as a Brainiac segment. Just do, Dave, what's the number three at Taco Bell? What's the number five at Burger King? What's the number six at Wendy's?
I couldn't tell you.
Yes, you could. You just don't want to.
I don't know. I haven't been to Taco Bell. Well, I personally haven't been to Taco Bell in probably about a year. And here at the radio station, Benji, who does some of the voice work for the podcast, brought me in a $1 breakfast burrito from Taco Bell.
Kiss ass.
Yeah. It was okay. It was anything special.
Do you look at him and be like, one?
That's
I made you become great for one freaking burrito?
I know. That's all he thinks of me. And a dollar.
I eat burritos bigger than you, Benji.
I mean, that's what I take my wife out on her birthday to the dollar menu. I mean, that's the kind of guy I am.
You selfish? Never mind.
And let's get back to the
final
match.
Time of 10 minutes and 55 seconds for in the triple threat match for the WWE Universal Championship. Brock Lesnar with Paul Heyman beats Kane and Braun Strowman. Now let's get to it.
Okay.
Let's get to it.
Good stuff, man.
The Women's Royal Rumble.
Ramble?
You heard me.
Okay. Is that accent coming through again?
Don't worry about it. Yeah.
Don't worry about it.
First contestant, but we had several really surprised contestants
exactly.
on here.
Exactly, yeah, it was really
which was
cool.
neat. Let's get through the first. Let's go through the first four: Sasha Banks, Becky Lynch, Sarah Logan, Mandy Rose. I keep wanting to say Mandy Moore every time I see that name.
But Sarah Logan looked incredible in the ring.
We need to quit talking about how hot.
No,
they
No, no, I'm not talking that. I mean.
Okay.
There was a move that she did on Sasha Banks where Sasha comes off the rope. She mm-hmm. grabs Sasha Banks, throws her into the air, and then as Sasha's coming down, she headbutts her. Loved it. Now, she didn't look bad either.
Next on that list was none other than legendary extreme queen herself, Lita.
Lita!
Oh, man.
Didn't she look great?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she wrestled great, too.
Yeah, she did.
She really is in great shape.
And let me just go back, because when I say look great, I'm not talking being a perv ball, as you accuse me of.
Are you sure?
I'm sure.
Because I see your eyes and they tell me different. NXT's Kairi Sane? I don't know.
She's insane. She's the one that won the Mae Young Classic. She is the Oriental girl. And I thought she did a great job. Great job.
All right. Dave's about to get excited again. Tori Wilson, Molly Holly, Michelle McCool.
All the legends. And I'm gonna be a sex maniac here. No, I'm just gonna be a perv ball. Molly Holly. Holy moly. If I wasn't a happily married man, she was gorgeous.
You'd still be single right now.
I would be.
Touching you in a 10-foot pole.
And then in the ring, great work, Michelle McCool. I thought she looked like she had never left the ring.
Mm-hmm.
Kelly had a few little difficulties trying to do one move on Michelle, I think it was. So overall, I thought it was. I thought the legendary performers did great, and to be perfectly honest with you, the whole Women's Royal Rumble was incredibly good.
Molly Holly, sandwich between Molly Holly and Michelle McCool was, of course, Rusev's gal.
Oh, Lana.
Yep.
And I heard her one time, they were, I think she was going against, maybe it was Molly or Kelly, and all of a sudden it was, you heard her say, "This isn't your time, this is Lana Day." And then the crowd was actually chanting Rusev Day when she was introduced.
But then at number 16, Sweet 16, was none other than not-so-sweet Vicky Guerrero.
Yeah, Vicky comes out, "Excuse me."
Dude, you know what? The crowd loved it, though.
It did. Loved
it. They really did.
Yeah.
You know, I hated Vicky in 08 and 09, and just because of the way they treated The Undertaker.
Uh-huh.
I hated her, couldn't stand her, wanted her to go choke on a carrot or two. I missed. It was really cool seeing her back.
It really was.
Carmella, Natalya, Kelly, Naomi finished out your top 20 of entrances. Then came in Jacqueline.
I forgot about Jackie. Miss Texas at one point.
Yep.
And what a great performer throughout the years. I saw her when she was competing years and years ago in Texas. Then she was in Tennessee for a while in the Memphis territory. And she has one of the most famous wardrobe malfunctions in the WWE.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. But
oh man,
without talking more about that.
I didn't think about that.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember. Was it Kat, Jerry Lawler's wife at the time, that pulled her top off?
I can't remember.
You know, if you feel like you want to, I think it's available on YouTube, but.
Sure is.
Anyway, but it's embarrassing for her, but still, what a great performer over the years. And it looks like she could still do it if she wanted to. She's in great condition.
She lasted 1 minute and 52 seconds. Nia Jax was at 22. Ember Moon of NXT.
Yeah, she comes out. She had a really rough match the night before in NXT TakeOver. They had her arm all wrapped up, and she had a great performance too. She's fun to watch.
We had another legendary gal in there. One who is, I guess her husband was thrilled about it. Beth Phoenix, number 24.
Oh, yeah. I forgot that. You're good, man. Because she's married to Edge, right?
2 minutes and 22 seconds. Absolutely, yep.
I'd forgotten.
Very happily, too, by the way.
Yeah, they're right.
Edge is very vocal about how much he loves that beautiful gal.
Isn't it awesome?
It's pretty cool. Yeah. It's awesome. Your winner of the Women's Royal Rumble was a 25th entry, that being Asuka. No surprise that she won it either,
I predicted a win. Yeah. So, but it was still fun to watch it all the way to the end.
26, Mickie James. 27, Nikki Bella. 28, Brie Bella. 29, Bayley. 30 was Stratosphere herself, Trish Stratus.
Yeah, I was surprised to see the Bellas, both of them.
Yeah.
Sometimes because I don't watch Total Divas very often, I forget about them, and of course, Nikki was on, Dancing on the Stars, and Brie had a baby recently, so I didn't think that Brie was ever going to come back, but at least she comes back for this one, and Nikki was the one who eliminated her, by the way, so, yeah. Dissension in the Twinzos.
Longest lasted in the ring
was
Becky Lynch at 30 minutes and 54 seconds. Asuka lasted 19 minutes and 41 seconds, but of course she won it as the 25th entry. Asuka on Raw was told by Stephanie McMahon to take her time, you know, to make a decision on who she wants to go up against.
Okay, because at the very end, in comes Little Miss Bliss, Alexa Bliss, and Charlotte Flair, and they're trying to get her to make a decision right there who she's going to face, and out comes from the back Ronda Rousey. Ronda Rousey. And she comes in, doesn't say a word. They're playing Bad Reputation. Isn't it by Joan Jett?
Ronda Rousey comes out. Now, by the way, that kind of solidifies the rumor that she's becoming a full-time WWE diva, which is, by the way, really good news and really bad news for UFC, which is already falling apart, like, at the grim.
Yes, it is.
It is just not holding up together. Ronda Rousey, great ovation getting in there. She gets up there. She points at the WrestleMania thingamajigger, right?
The what?
The thingamajigger.
Okay.
The Wachobies. Oh, no, wait, what?
So that the WrestleMania sign.
Yeah, the sign.
Not thingamajigger.
Anyways, point to that. Kind of signifying, if you ask me, she wants a piece of the hardware. But wouldn't that kind of piss you off if you're another diva? Some UFC gal just comes in, rock style, part-timer, even if you want to call it that.
Uh-huh.
Gets compete for championships.
Yeah, but she also appeared at the NXT TakeOver, too.
Still.
She's been doing some stuff at NXT.
Who cares? It's NXT. What about these other dudes who have been fighting their butts off?
I don't know.
I mean, I can see where John Cena and guys like that and CM Punk were coming from when they get, you know, Rock comes in. Hey, I'm here for the third time in 10 years. I'm ready for a championship. You got it, Rock. Smell what I'm cooking? Yeah, Rock. It's bacon. No, it's it's kind of annoying.
Yeah, could be. I can see that. Couple of things.
Yes.
Okay, a couple of quotes from the King. Jerry Lawler, was out there for about half a month. I thought, you know, he does some pretty funny lines. They were talking about movies, and I can't remember. Maybe it was around the time The Miz came out.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I've seen better film on teeth. I like that one. Let's see. He was talking about the woken Matt Hardy. Mm-hmm. And Jerry Lawler says about the woken Matt Hardy, he's nuttier than squirrel poop. And then he's talking with Byron Saxton's there. And so Jerry says, do you have to work with this guy all the time? And yeah, he says, well, you know, I used to work with JR, so you can just start calling Saxton BS.
That's actually pretty good.
Yeah, I liked it.
All right, well, folks, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back. We're going to talk some XFL. That's right. Vince McMahon's coming back, but it's going to be a different XFL. We'll tell you why. Dave Dett and Audrey Salveson, you're listening to Turnbuckle Trash, sponsored by Geeks of the Industry, MSR, 103.9, and, of course,
Chunky Larry.
Coming back.
You're a nerd.
Is Turnbuckle Trash.
I've got some bad news for you.
Not now, Marge. I'm waiting for the new XFL season. Who will win this year's million-dollar game? Who? Who?
Honey.
The X is for extreme.
There is no XFL this year. The league folded.
Was it? Who told you?
Last year's MVP. He sweeps up toenails at the beauty parlor.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
Yeah. This was from the man himself, the chairman, Vinnie Mac, says, people don't want social and political issues coming into play when they are trying to be entertained. We want someone who wants to take a knee to do their version of that on their personal time.
Ooh. Way to go, Vinny. Vincent Kenny McMahon, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. Oh, that's good stuff.
I can't. Dude, I wish the XFL was happening sooner. I wish 2 years. I'm like, oh, why 2 years? I can't wait that long.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting. And I'm going to be pulling for the Philadelphia Eagles. I'm not sorry, Juice. Ajay is such a huge New England Patriots fan, but I got to pull for the Eagles. You're not going to.
Well, Ajay does drive around in a bandwagon, so.
Oh, and you know what he thinks about deflated balls, so.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, we're going to get in so much trouble with that dude. But no, it should be fun. I'm going to be pulling for the Super Bowl snacks myself. We'll have some good snacks that day. I think we're going to have ribs.
Good.
Ribs from Memphis, Tennessee, by the way. Corky's barbecued ribs were sent to me at Christmas time, frozen, flash frozen, packed in dry ice. They're sitting in my freezer right now. Going to be pulled out Super Bowl Sunday, cooked and devoured.
Good.
Yeah.
You know, I smoked some. I didn't quite do Teresa's recipe, but I did smoke some ribs earlier this year, and they turned out pretty doggone good.
Ribs. Good stuff, isn't it? Good.
When is the Super Bowl? The 4th of February?
It is next Sunday. Yeah, the 4th of February. Yeah.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
The greatest wrestler in the history of wrestling? He was so good that he would outfit with the words fair play written across it. Like, I'm so good, I don't even need to cheat to beat you. It's kind of my idol.
You're changing your Depends over to diapers.
I sentenced them to deletion.
Depends over to diapers.
Delete.
And now on Turnbuckle Trash, since we've already been talking about the XFL, I thought it'd be kind of interesting to get in touch with Kelly Denton. And once again, we tell everyone that he is my nephew, but he lives in Memphis, Tennessee. And since we're talking the XFL, and you actually went to a couple of XFL games in Memphis with the Memphis Outlaws, right?
Well, they were the Memphis Maniacs, but...
Maniacs?
Yeah, they were Memphis Maniacs. And yeah, I went to, there were six home games, and I went to three of them.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, I experienced it. I had the XFL experience.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, I remember watching a few games, especially the first one with the New Jersey, New York team against Las Vegas. So do you remember which game you went to or which games?
Well, I couldn't tell you who the teams that we played against were, but, you know, like I said, they were home games, and, you know, I couldn't tell you who we played against. But I do know when it first started up, Vince was telling everybody it's going to be a mix of football and wrestling. You know, so I'm kind of expecting instead of tackles, they're going to be doing suplexes on each other, and that just didn't happen. You know, in fact, I remember hearing a call for unnecessary roughness, and I got a little peeved because I was going like, this is wrestling. We're supposed to be rough. You know, so, but, you know, just it just seemed kind of odd to me. But, you know, it was still a lot of fun. Going to the, this is just a football game, you know, played at the Liberty Bowl. Like, you know, we used to go to, I guess it was the Memphis Showboats back in the day.
Yeah.
Well, you know,
yeah.
So at the Liberty Bowl, and we went to a few of those, and, we just at the Liberty Bowl. It's fun. It's a football game like any other, pretty much.
I was just going to ask you, since they were talking about this being a little bit different experience, since Vince is now saying he's not going to be the wrestling is not going to be as involved as it was, you know, where they had the play-by-play team, Jerry Lawler and Jim Ross did games together.
Right.
That it's going to be more autonomous. What do you think about that?
I think it'll actually help them, to be honest with you, because, I mean, wrestling, while it's a global phenomenon, it's still not everybody's cup of tea. And you start talking about wrestling and people will still give you really weird, dirty looks. You know, but when it comes to football, unless you're not standing, nobody's going to give you a second look because it's just football.
Uh-huh.
But when you get involved with the wrestling in it, and it didn't work the first time, to be honest with you. I mean, I enjoyed the games, but I couldn't really tell the difference between the XFL and the NFL while I was watching it. Now, I never watched it on television. I don't know what happened there. I really don't watch football on television unless it's a Super Bowl. That's the only time I really care about watching football. But because why not? All the money that's involved in it, it fascinates me. But with the XFL, I mean, it just seemed to me like a regular old football game, and I don't know why it didn't go over, because it was just football.
Yeah.
I think it'll work a little better now because people are a little disillusioned with the NFL. I mean, what was the last thing I saw? They cut back an ad for somebody saying that you should stand, and they decided not to play that ad. You know, a lot of
weird.
Yeah, a lot of people are angry about that, and I think a lot of people are going to boycott the Super Bowl this year just because of that.
Yeah.
And a lot of money is going to be lost because of that. And here comes XFL back, when was it, 2020s, planning on bringing it back out.
Mm-hmm.
I think it'll give people another offering other than the NFL, just to give them something else to watch. I mean, like I said, it's just a football game like any other. I think the reason it didn't work too well the first time is because, you know, you have in the NFL, you have known teams and people have their favorite teams. Well, the XFL was so new, nobody really knew anything about each team, about the players. So they just didn't really care. That's what I think went wrong with the first time. That, and quite frankly, I mean, you play football in November and it's cold outside.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't like sitting in the stands freezing my tail off to watch a football game. But it was still a lot of fun. It was still a lot of fun, I thought.
Yeah. In the stadium itself, when you went, did they incorporate were any of the wrestlers there? Did they ever talk about, Jerry Lawler being there, or maybe superstar Bill Dundee, or maybe the Rock and Roll Express making an appearance or not?
That's been like, 10 years ago? My memory's not what it used to be. I'm 45, so, you know, my memory's kind of going a little bit as the age goes by. But I remember Jerry Lawler was down on the sidelines at one point, and people made a big deal of that. Well, of course, it's Jerry Lawler, the second king of Memphis. But I don't remember anything about the other ones. I'm sure they were there, but nobody actually pointed them out to me. As far as it goes, I didn't really catch the wrestling part at all. I mean, it was, like I said, it was just a football game, which in and of itself is fun to watch. I mean, that's probably why I don't watch it on TV, is because to me it's kind of boring watching it on TV. If you're there, it's a lot more exciting.
It was pretty cold then, huh?
Well, yeah, it was really cold. I mean, November and December, it's cold here in Memphis as it is. At least it used to be.
Yeah.
You know, and sit there at night and try to watch a football game at night, and, you know, you're wearing like 3 sweaters, a couple of jackets, a couple of, you know, beanies on your head, and you're still shivering.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, I think if they were to actually play the game or play their seasons sometime when it's warmer, I don't know, maybe they'd go over a little better.
Well, yeah, I think this time they're actually planning on doing the games. Like the first game is going to be the off week between the championship game and the Super Bowl game. So it'll be more of a late winter, early spring type game. So, and of course,
well,
in Memphis, that, you know,
it's still going to be cold. You know?
Yeah, that will still be pretty chilly in Memphis. Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, we just got rid of the snow and ice here just a couple of days, which is rare even for us these days. But we just got rid of it. Let's talk about bringing some more in on early February. And
you can keep it there, by the way, because we've had a very mild winter here where it's supposed to be cold all the time. Yeah, we've had a very mild winter.
I remember living in Salt Lake for those 8 years, man. I mean, that was winters were crazy there, but they had control of the roads. And here you get a dusting of snow. It's eventually going to turn to ice and kids are out of school for a week. So like I said, they said it's a mixture of football and wrestling, and I expected something a little different than just a standard football game. But at the same time, I was never disappointed. The games were always fun. They were always competitive. You know, I mean, it was just a football game.
Yeah. Well, that's a good way of putting it, just a football game. And I think from what I can comprehend from what the announcement was the other day, that they're looking at doing – and making it more of a, quote, football game and a football experience than trying to go head-to-head with the entertainment of professional wrestling added into it. I think it's just going to be more of a – haven't made up my mind whether this thing is going to work or not yet.
Well, I think it's, you know, part of my language. It's pretty ballsy of Vince to try and come up and do this again, because the first time around, it was an absolute disaster for him. I mean, he lost millions on it. He literally lost, not that it was a drop in the bucket to a billionaire, but he still lost quite a bit of money on it just for one season of football that just didn't work out for him. I'm amazed he's trying it again.
And I love the NFL. I watch it all the time. But, of course, they have their own problems right now, too.
So right.
It's going to be interesting to see what they're going to be doing here.
I think he's, like you said, I think he sees a chink in the armor for the NFL, and I agree with that wholeheartedly because, like I said this past year, I mean, I'm a part of, I'm on some Facebook groups that are very much like boycott the NFL and, you know, stand up for your nation and all this stuff. Because I'm very much against people sitting for the national anthem. I mean, you do what you do. I'm not going to down you for it, but I mean, it shows a whole lot of disrespect. And I think that's what Vince is seeing, is because people are starting to boycott the NFL. And I think they're going to have a whole lot fewer viewers for the Super Bowl this year for that very reason.
Oh, that's going to be, I think, well, you just, I think you hit the nail on the head there, my brother. Just thinking about the, all the controversies with the, that movement. And, you know, I always say, try not to, to give them too much credit, but also not to come down on them too hard because they're doing something that they firmly believe in. But I think it shows a great deal of disrespect to others in this country. And
it
to
sure
those
does.
In, you know, that have fought and died for this country. That is my biggest beef, but I do support their right to do whatever they feel like they need to do, but I don't have to like it. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes, I know exactly what you're saying. I'll tell you what my biggest beef with that whole movement. I'll tell you my biggest beef. I'm on disability. I'm a dialysis patient. I get $1,000 a month from the government to live on, and you just can't do it. But I'm going to stand up anytime the national anthem comes on, even though I'm not exactly able to stand up for the most part. I'm going to do it because it's the national anthem. I've got respect for the people who fought and died for this country. These are people who are making millions of dollars throwing a ball around. And they're going to disrespect the people who fought and died for their right to do that, to make millions of dollars to throw a ball around. That's my biggest beef. You don't want, you're happy to take the money, you're happy to play the game and take the money, but you're not going to show you that you're grateful for being able to do so.
Despite our problems and despite all the difficulties we have in this old life, we live in a pretty daggum good country.
I would say so.
You're speaking up my alley, and I'm sure Zane's going to be going, yeah, because he is really patriotic about this. But
like I said, you know, I'm poor, I'm beat down, I'm broken, I'm diseased and all that, but I'm still going to stand up for my country when it comes in. I'm American. I'll bitch and moan about anything that causes me to bitch and moan.